different setup tonight.
Okay. You did something a little bit different with your setup. So I actually have a fun way to start tonight. I have a joke for you. It's inspired by our group chat with Eric and Randy.
Sure.
I don't know if you remember, but Randy was complaining about Nia Jax not being involved for the WrestleMania. She just kind of disappeared.
That's fair, yes.
Yeah. So if a tree falls in the woods and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound?
That's a very good question.
And if Nia Jax is not going to appear on a WrestleMania card and no one cares, does it matter?
No. Do you know what dawned on me tonight? We were supposed to have several weeks ago a segment with Cody Rhodes and R-Truth after the whole John Cena turn. And we have not seen R-Truth since he was in Cody's dressing room looking at shrimp.
So he died. He got food poisoning. No, that was before. That was when he was trying to decide if he was going to sell his soul. Maybe R-Truth sold his soul and disappeared with The Rock.
Maybe. That is probably a better explanation than WWE's ever going to give us.
Oh, boy. And with that,
sports entertainment is Brad, the Dad, and Father Greg, the Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends.
Friends. You knew it was coming. Hello, friends. And yes, we are your SmackDown review for the Hub. I am Brad, the Dad, and running shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg, Father Feldham.
Bless you, my son, I think. But man, oh man, this is these 3-hour SmackDowns. Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
This one in particular hurts because they did not have a 3-hour show. They had a 2-hour.
they had 90 minutes of TV here. And the part that drove me freaking nuts, and we'll get to it, I'm sure, is they keep referring to the social media posts that I can't find anything on.
Oh, the social media posts that you can't find anything on.
Right, sorry. No, it was a social media post. What they say, it was like hyped on social media. And I'm like, okay, but I'm checking like, you know, various news sites and no one has it because it's not real. It's
because it's not real. Well, it was on Fightful. Yeah, Fightful had it.
I did not see it on Fightful because I went back and looked at their like online posts and I saw nothing.
It only seems to be on their X account.
Well, I don't use X, so.
That seems to be, which would be why you couldn't find it. I'm going to see if I can find it.
Oh, I found it on their website now after I had to go digging deep.
Well, right. And I missed it the first time. Then I heard it later in the show. So I was like, wait, what? And then I stopped, watched the clip, and I was like, okay. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, they decided to shoot an angle on social media with cell phone footage and Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to like Charlotte Flair?
No. Like, legitimately, Brad, there's a line. I know you enjoy geekiness, but as you ask that question, I don't know. Were you into a big Star Trek Deep Space Nine fan?
Yes.
Okay. So do you remember the genetically modified, the 3 or 4 genetically modified characters that come to visit the doctor?
Yes.
And there's one guy, the older gentleman in it. He's dressed up in an Admiral's uniform. And whenever anyone asks him something, he responds with, "That's a stupid question." That's how I feel when you ask, does anyone actually, you know, is Charlotte supposed to be the bad guy? Yes. Is that, that's a stupid question, Brad. Of course she is. No one likes Charlotte.
Well, including her many ex-husbands. God apparently, damn.
Apparently Kaiser's in her DMs. So, you know.
Well, this is the wildest. I mean, we're just trying to avoid. I watched some trashy reality TV, and I don't feel like I watched the trashiest thing I watched was definitely WWE tonight.
So I legitimately am sad, and I'll tell you why. I had a bit of a run today after work. I had to run a couple errands to get my son ready for lacrosse season that starts tomorrow. So by the time I came home, I barbecued supper. My wife actually had the barbecue all prepped and ready, and the pork chops already seasoned. All I had to do was throw them on the grill, which was great. Finished supper, took the dog for a little walk, and I said, okay, I'm going to come downstairs now. I'm going to start and finish up my work day, and then I'll get ready and do some other things in preparation of SmackDown. So I turned on Peacock Network, as I have been doing for the last few nights. I've been watching a couple of things on Peacock. And I saw the WrestleMania 9 documentary that's on Peacock, like the behind the scenes. That's the first event that they had cameras behind the scenes at.
Mm.
And I started to watch that. And I watched the first half hour, and it's been really good. I've really enjoyed it. And it's a 90-minute documentary. And I wish I'd watched that instead of SmackDown tonight, because I think that would have been a better thing to talk about than the shit we got to watch on TV.
The only thing we found out for sure is which matches are on which night of WrestleMania. And even then, there's still matches to be added.
Well, yeah.
Yes, because Randy Orton's going to get a match.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not. I don't like where we're going with a lot of this shit. So, and I really am not. I'm really thankful that I don't know what WWE is thinking, because we'll get to it, I'm sure. But night two is gimmick matches galore.
Gimmick matches galore.
Like, I don't know.
And multi-matches, if that's what you're considering gimmicks.
No, I mean, everything has a gimmick. I think every match there on night two has a gimmick.
Yep. And multis, and oh yeah, there's just weirdness. It's going to be it's a weird show.
Good show.
I'm not sure how they decided what we're going to divide up, but coin flips?
I don't know.
Okay, let's get into this. Recap one.
We got to get through this crap.
One. Hey, Randy Orton and last week and RKO's.
Yep.
And Nick Aldis said he was trying to be professional, but he did the air quotes thing. He was pretty professional, Greg.
This was like cuckold Nick Aldis here tonight.
Oh, yeah. Randy's like, theme played.
Legitimately. Okay, he's out in the ring. He looks like he's a little beat up. Like, he's got he almost looks like he's recovering from a black eye or something. So I don't know if Mickey got into him a little much, or if that RKO hit the right spot last week. I don't know. Not going to ask question. That's not my biz. But, like, you are supposed to be the authority figure. And then what did you do? You did crap all.
He invited Randy to the ring. Randy explains that he paid double, and this is going to be Randy's 20th WrestleMania. He wants a match. And
which is just what we said last week.
Right. And respect. And Nick doesn't think that Randy respects him. He wants an apology. And he's like, Randy says, I won't even apologize to Mickey James for what I'll do to you if you don't get me a match. What? And then the best part is Nick Aldis, like normally when somebody's not in the scene, they hide. But you could see Nick Aldis for the rest of this scene. He was just standing at ringside. He was in the back of every shot. And every shot was the Samoans coming down, Solo and Tamatanga, and they want to pick a fight. And so does Randy. He wants him to come on into the ring. What?
Yeah. That's what they wanted, to pick a fight.
And Randy said he doesn't care. He wants both of them. He tries to fight them both off. That was dumb. LA Knight comes down and looks like we're going to get a tag team match. Holla, holla, holla. Like, dude, this. So we don't get Nick Aldis, which is what I actually want.
Right.
And we get a tag match. You think we're getting Solo? I have a bad feeling we're getting Solo.
Oh, yeah. 100%. We're getting Solo. And talk about, this is like ordering, you know, a beautiful plate of prime rib. And the kitchen's saying, yeah, we're out, but it's okay. We subbed it with bologna.
Yeah. Or just a beautiful prime rib, and they say, how do you like your steak? And you say, extra well done and just smothered in terrible barbecue sauce. Like, gross.
You're making me hurt right now. Just the thought of that.
Well, we're going to get Solo and poor Randy Orton. Like, also poor Nick Aldis, because this seemed like an easy, they had such good chemistry. And I was like, oh, Nick Aldis is going to attack Randy at the end of the night. And that did not happen. Spoiler alert.
Right.
So, Greg, our first actual match of tonight after 20 minutes of talking is a Teddy Long special. More tag team matches. Holla, holla, holla.
Yes, Flair.
So, this is the women's gauntlet match, which is going to go on for almost the entire first hour of SmackDown. Yeah. And boy, do we have some women's tag teams on this roster. So makeshift tag team number one, Bailey and Lyra Valkyria versus Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler, who are from the Pure Fusion Collection. I thought there was three of those.
Nope. Only ever two.
Is this like the Mandela effect?
Yep.
Okay.
Only ever two, Brad. I don't know what you're talking about.
I got a new Mandela effect for you because I'm delaying talking about this match. Okay. So do you remember this guy by the name of Ed McMahon when you were a kid?
Is that the only one we're allowed to say here without having to put money in the swear jar?
Right. Yes, right. Ed McMahon, who right. was, mm-hmm. what company did Ed work for that you saw him on?
That was the
Publishers.
Oh, yes. Clearinghouse Sweepstakes.
Right. And
I was going to say, it was Clearinghouse Sweepstakes, but I couldn't get the P word.
And you would get things and he would show up and give money and show up at your door with a check.
Yes.
So apparently that didn't happen and we all have mass amnesia.
Do we?
Yes. If you look up Ed McMahon Publishers Clearance House, the first thing that'll come up is articles on the internet talking about how this did not happen and that he worked for a different company.
Yeah, then someone is screwing with you because that happened.
That definitely happened.
Right?
Yeah, Mandela effect is what that's called. But it's like, no, the Ed McMahon Publishers Clearance House, this was a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. The Mandela effect worked because only two members of Pure Fusion showed up. Bailey gets beat down.
That's all there is. Stop. That's all there ever was.
So Shayna lost her gear. That's my running theory for this match.
Like, okay. So legitimately, I wasn't thinking about Shayna Baszler. I was thinking we were talking about Sonya Deville. I was like,
we were talking about Sonya Deville, but on top of everything else, Shayna Baszler lost her gear.
Was she?
She was in black pants. She was in her wrestling boots, but she was in like a tank top and black pants. She normally has
tights. Cool. I was like, I legitimately forgot she was in the first part of this match.
Yeah.
It was 16 hours ago when we started this freaking SmackDown. Like,
Right. And they had some stellar, like, tag team moves between Stark and Baszler. And then you're like, wait a second, they're on this roster. They're this good. And we never see them. And the only actual tag team that has been a tag team for longer than 3 months.
Yeah.
So this ends by having Baszler tries to hit her stomp and Lyra ends up rolling her up. And match one's over.
Yeah. 3 minutes and 20 seconds.
Match number two. We still have Bayley and Lyra Valkyria, but instead we got Natty Neidhart and Maxine, both in pink. And apparently Natty on another social media clip, which I did watch also, was not happy that her partner was wearing pink.
I was going to say, they raided Tiffy Stratton's closet. Like,
mean, whatever. Maxine wears pink all the time, but not this outfit.
Yeah.
So this match, Maxine kept making mistakes. Eventually, Maxine tries a sharpshooter and gets rolled up 1, 2, 3. And that's the second team gone. Yeah. And by the way, this is
2 minutes, 3 seconds.
So out of the three teams we've seen so far, two have never teamed together before tonight.
Sure.
Oh, wait, here comes a real tag team. Caden Carter and Katana Chance. They isolate Bayley. They kick her in the head. But eventually, Caden Carter and Lyra try their keg stand finisher. That doesn't win. And impressively, Caden Carter gets isolated in the ring with Lyra. And Lyra muscles her up onto her shoulder and hits a Nightwing for the 1, 2, 3.
2 minutes and 7 seconds.
And don't forget, there's commercials in between a lot of this crap. Yep. That's how they're padding this out. Yep. Our next match, we still have Lyra and Bayley. This time we have Meechan and B-Fab.
Right.
Who have had one tag match before this.
Sure.
Lyra this time is the one that's isolated. Bayley gets a hot tag. Bayley eventually, they have a great spot in this where Meechan has Lyra into a tarantula and then B-Fab kicks her in the head. This match ends when B-Fab tries to hit a Harlem sidekick like Ella Booker T, and instead Bayley reverses into a rose plant, and that one's done.
Yeah, and that one was 2 minutes, 1 second.
Greg, we end with the Secret Hervis versus Bayley and Lyra, with the winners going on to WrestleMania.
And at this point, did you realize that this was the last tag team? Because, I mean, that poster that they had seemed like that there was like at least 10 more teams.
I was fearing we'd at least see the Meta 2 from the NXT. All like, right. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of teams down there. I feared we'd see some of them, but no, this is the entire women's roster. So, sure. The Secret Hervis is wrestling in their suits. There's a great swing TDT by Lyra at one point. Lyra gets stretched out at one point, and there's a swanton over the knees of Piper, which looks great as well. They call it a swanton combination. The two teams end up face-to-face. They're fighting, and Bayley eventually hits the rose plant. While Lyra holds the legs of Piper from the outside, 1, 2, 3, Bayley and Lyra have won the gauntlet match, and they're going to get a tag title match. The good news, Greg, is they've won 5 matches. The bad news was they won 5 matches in the first hour of SmackDown.
This was 10 minutes, 31 seconds.
Marathon.
So we're talking, I think, total here. So let's do the math here. 10 and a half plus 2. Plus 2. So we're at 14, 15, 16, 17. This actually took about 20 minutes of TV time. And it took the first hour of SmackDown. At least it felt it.
Well, yes. And then we don't see the footage of the attack from the parking lot, which we're told to go watch on social media.
Which is dumb. Why don't you show me this crap? The amount of times that I have to see some of these friggin' recaps, but you can't show me something that happened earlier today that's only on social media on one random Twitter user? You've got to be fucking kidding me, WWE. Get your heads out of your asses.
Oh, and don't forget, Damian Priest is walking in the back, and we get... And they're going to get a Sin City street fight.
Sure.
Recap two. I'm going fast, Greg, because I can see you're grumpy. Hogan Rock, WrestleMania 17.
Yeah.
So Damian Priest gets about halfway to the ring and Pirate Drew comes flying out of nowhere. They end up fighting. Drew gets thrown into the Damian's thrown into the barricade. He looks concussed, so they drag him away. Drew starts cutting a promo talking about how he's upset. Everything he's done is justified. And then Priest comes running back down. The fight continues. They fight all the way around the ring. Just when you think that Priest has the advantage, he gets gouged in the eyes. He gets Future Shock DDT'd onto the steps. And Pirate Drew stands tall. Arr!
Macy.
Greg, is this...
ridiculous? Like, yeah.
Security on this show sucks. They can't keep people from coming out to fight. They can't keep teams apart. Like, why to bother with the jobbers?
I don't know.
So DIY's in the back. They're with Pretty Deadly. And this is their WrestleMania moment because they're looking at each other talking about how they can't get into the tag titles. And it turns out that we see the Motor City Machine Guns come in. And they're just reminding them that you screwed us out of the titles and now we're going to get our titles back. So instead of all these teams having a match together, we're getting this.
Yep.
And none of them are on WrestleMania.
Ain't that the fact? But you get to watch New Day take on the War Raiders. Really?
Which one of these matches would be better? If they took the five teams we started with and made that into the match, that would be better.
They're really testing me.
Craig's like, don't make me come down there.
Legitimately.
So Birdo's going to come out and wrestle, but before we see that match.
Birdo?
Yeah, Birdo.
The one who spits the eggs out of their nose?
Oh, no. The same guy, basically.
Gotcha. Cool.
Anyways, Triple H is coming. Triple H is going to the Hall of Fame. That's going to be a recap.
Yes. And if you happen to be up at 3:00 in the morning, you can watch that live.
Well, you can get up and watch it before the NXT show that starts at 8 a.m.
I've lost the will.
Berto versus Rey Fénix. I feel so bad because this match was like absolutely amazing, but no one's going to talk about this match because it was just buried in the middle of this SmackDown.
Yep.
So Berto hits an amazing dragon roll from the shoulders. Rey Fénix ends up missing a kick, which gets Berto on offense. Berto hits a corkscrew dive to the outside. When Fénix rallies, he hits top rope drop kick, missile drop kick. There's just crazy stuff. At one point, Fénix gets caught on Humberto's shoulders and Humberto just dumps him. There's another corkscrew dive, but this time by Fénix to the outside. There's a springboard kick by Fénix off the top ropes. Berto hits this crazy power bomb out of nowhere. There's a springboard Frankensteiner. There's just incredible stuff here. But we eventually get the Amigo kick and the muscle buster. Greg, this is hands down the match of the night. And probably the only thing I can say to you with a good conscience, go back and watch this. This match, it fits perfectly. It was a great AEW style match. and exactly like AEW style booking, where what happened doesn't matter.
Yep. This match, by the way, 10 minutes 42 seconds, and it felt that it took about three times that.
So at the end,
but sorry, I don't mean for that to sound bad. Let me try to rephrase that. It felt like it was a lot longer because it was such a good match that you were so invested in it. But it felt like this was like, you know, a 30-ish minute match, and it wasn't.
And it was excellent. They got all their stuff in. And at the end, Berto's down. He's disappointed. And Santos comes in and he congratulates Rey Fénix for the win. And he tries to get Berto to be a good sport and he doesn't. And I'm like, wait a second. Aren't these guys heels?
That's where I was going to go. Brad, play my music.
Uh-oh. Do. There it is. Oh,
I thought you had it all. All right, cut it there, because I know you're going to get in trouble.
Greg starts yelling at me, no, we have to pay for it if we go any longer.
I was going to say, yeah, cut it there. We don't want to get in trouble. That there is probably the nicest part of my night. Like, listen to that.
Okay. And it only gets weirder when we get to the back, because Santos is just like making fun of Berto for failing and then goes to congratulate Rey Fénix. We get a cut where we get...
Hold on. Before we do that, so do you think we're now going to stop our Latino on Latino violence?
No, we're just going to pull in Andrade, who, you know, all fresh off his divorce, that we found out that took place a year ago. He needs something to do. So he tries to cheer up Berto and gets made and Berto tells him to buzz off. So just like his marriage with Charlotte Flair, he got told to go away.
All right.
So outside Nick Aldis's door, Roxanne Perez is trying to get into a match because she knows how to act professionally. Tiffy cuts her off, and they're going to have a match.
Yes.
Oh, and recap number 4 is about 10 minutes of a CM Punk DVD from a very long time ago.
Yeah, did we just basically look to see what we had on Netflix and just splice something together?
Splice something together. Chelsea Green wants to have her girls come out and help her. But they are in the back in the locker room. So Selena's all excited. And then I realized Selena's Vegas theme song is also by Def Rebel and sucks too.
Yeah. Although I think this is the part of the night where even the PA announcer in the arena, the new guy, started to fall asleep because like his announcing went downhill.
He was not very excited. I was excited to see Aleister Black in the back, and then they cut back to Selena Vega, and I was like, can we put these two things together when he comes back?
No.
No, what? That real-life husband and wife, though.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. No, we can't. We can't do that.
Although it makes sense. Sorry. Chelsea right. Green comes out. She doesn't have her secret herbert, so she throws her teal gown at Selena, beats her up on the outside, but too busy arguing with the commentators to notice that she gets countered out.
Yeah. Her and Tessitore apparently are in an online feud or some crap. I don't know. Nor do I care.
So yeah, this match was hot garbage. It was a waste of time. And it doesn't even get Vega a match at WrestleMania. It gets her a 6-woman tag next week.
Right.
So this is the part where we see the part in the back with Berto and the whole and Andrade. I don't care. Naomi's vignette. She is upset. And then we see her cut a fantastic promo and it's a great piece. And if that was the only part of this, I would say this is thumbs up, Greg. Let's keep it. But nope, we had to hear Jade talk. And even in a taped, heavily edited segment, it was terrible.
I didn't mind that, actually.
So you like Naomi and Jade or just
I actually like both of them. I think this is actually the best use of either of them in weeks.
Sure.
Legitimately.
We can disagree, but it was... The thing is, you could tell they're padding this show. And yeah, and they're trying not to have anybody else get injured. Like,
yeah.
So
facts.
We see all the WWE titles coming in the ring, and that's our Cody promo. we have all of the titles, and Cody is calling John Cena out for calling him a common fan, because yes, he is just like everybody else. He is a normal guy, Greg. And then he points out the history in the ring with him, and he's going to stop history from being made. He goes through each title talking about the different champions, but he's going to stop history from being made because he is not going to let John Cena win the title, and he's going to keep the title here so that other people can make history in the future.
Yeah.
Tell me you're filling time without telling me you're filling time.
I had so much promise for Cena Cody, but I don't even know if I even want to watch it.
You know what the worst part about this is? This would have been if they just would have had Cody hang out with the guy in the warehouse and talk about these titles, this would have been so much better. They didn't need the titles to be here.
Oh, like the guy used to be on the Hidden Treasures, the Archivist?
Yes.
Yeah, that would have been great.
And then Cody could have cut his promo.
Yeah. Yeah.
They could have put a clip of that on the screen, and then Cody could have come to the ring and then cut his promo. And this is why these titles matter. Like, they guys, we're 15 minutes short tonight. Call the Archivist. Tell him to ship over the titles. We're going to have Cody come in the ring and talk about them.
Right.
So we then have the Street Profits. They're going to have a match with DIY. They run this division. And Miz walks in and says, you run this division, and it's your fault that these titles aren't on WrestleMania, and you guys are a joke. And I have the best prospect in WWE, Carmelo Hayes, with his losing record. And the... Mellow
I'll stop you when you're telling the lies. Titles.
Mellow Don't Miz wants titles, and we are awesome. Him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The only good. This was hilarious, and the Miz pretending to be black is the funniest thing ever.
Oh, it's gonna be great.
But I think Miz is on a streak right now. His last few tag partners, Visible Minorities.
All right.
So, dude, this was...
terrible?
It was funny, but it was just like, Miz, like, why are you saying the quiet thing out loud? Why are you picking on the fact that these guys aren't on the show? It's not their fault that they're on WrestleMania. The New Day has more pull.
I guess. I don't know, man.
Okay, the second best match of the night, Tiffany Stratton versus Roxanne Perez. These guys had good chemistry.
They did.
And Roxanne kept countering Tiffany Stratton. That was the story of this match. Roxanne going after Tiffy's arm. And then whenever Tiffy tried to hit something, Roxanne countered. So like when Tiffany tried to hit her prettiest moonsault the first time, Roxanne caught her on the ropes and hit a Russian leg sweep from the middle rope. We then get, when she tries to hit the Alabama slam, Roxanne counters out of that. At one point, she gets her into a crossface. And the only reason Roxanne gets caught is because when she pushed off the ropes, the momentum allows Tiffany to get onto her shoulders, drop Roxanne, hit the moonsault, and win.
Which, again, makes sense.
And which was great. And then she celebrated and she went home and nothing important happened.
Yeah.
Nope. Charlotte Flair got past security somehow, Greg, and attacks Tiffy, throws her over the desk, and at one point Wade and Charlotte get in each other's faces because Wade's calling her out for not being professional.
That's right.
Just careful, Wade. She is single and ready to mingle.
I was gonna say, yeah, careful, Wade. You might get married again. I mean, I think he's happily married now, but I mean,
he might have to get divorced, marry Charlotte, and then get divorced. All he would have to do is tell his current wife, wait 6 months, I'll be available again.
God.
The Charlotte Flair jokes will stop when we get our cease and desist.
Yeah.
Oh, and don't forget, we need another CM Punk, Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman, Seth Rollins recap. And then we take 10 minutes to go through the cards.
Yeah.
And then we get LA Knight versus Randy Orton.
When this easily could have been a social media exclusive.
Randy Orton gets a couple quick power slams, then he gets isolated. This match eventually breaks down to Orton and Solo fighting out of the ring and hopefully not onto the WrestleMania card. Tama Tonga gets left in the ring, and shocking, Tama Tonga eats a BFT and loses.
Yes.
Do you know who misses Tongaloa the most?
The other one who's home rehabbing?
Yeah, Tongaloa is the other one. Tama Tonga is the one we saw tonight. He misses his brother dearly because until his brother gets back, he doesn't have somebody else lower on the pecking order who takes L's.
Right.
So this ends with Jacob Fatu beating him up and moonsaulting LA Knight into oblivion. Shades of what we're going to see at WrestleMania, because if they don't put the title on Jacob Fatu and begin his WWE story, they're missing the boat. Don't be stupid. Don't say, oh, it's so predictable. We can't do that, Greg.
Exactly. That would make too much sense.
This has been record time, Greg. We haven't even been recording for like 35 minutes, 37 minutes, and we are through this show. We should have done this as a speed round. Synopsis time.
This is your SmackDown Synopsis.
Greg, I feel like I should just, like, I'm just going to use one sound, one happy sound, and one angry sound. And I feel like I don't even know if I need the happy sound today, this week.
Probably not.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning. So, Nick Aldis, Randy Orton, getting cut off by the Samoans and setting up a Hala Hala tag team match.
Only because I don't want to see what we're going to get with Solo Sikoa and Randy Orton. I want to see Nick Aldis.
Yes, we were still lobbying for that. And if you check our social media account, we laid this out last week and I even clipped it up for WWE. You can just take that. Yeah. Please God, take that.
Right. I mean, we're not asking for any royalties. You know, Stanford's a nice place. We're not looking for jobs. Just don't give us Solo Sikoa and Randy Orton.
That's enough of a present.
Yeah.
Okay. The gauntlet match that goes on an entire hour.
Digital exclusive.
Greg, you could just cut it. It's fine.
They
could have just said Bailey and Lyra won a match in the parking lot.
It's one of these things just doesn't belong. And, you know, if you go through the list of the people who are in this gauntlet match, and you have Bailey in one of those teams and Bailey's not going to be on WrestleMania, you got to be kidding me. Of course, Bailey was going to win this.
Yeah, it was either that or she was going to. I mean, there was a thought she was going to feud with Roxanne at some point in NXT, but that didn't turn into anything. Okay, Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre, brawl.
Yeah, no.
Arr. DIY Pretty Deadly talking in the back. Because that's actually, I'll put all the tag teams together. All of the tag teams hanging out in the back.
No, I want this one separate. Well, okay, you mean the interaction?
And the Miz and what's his name? Because that can all be.
Okay, then we'll keep it. I was keeping this only because I liked and I can't remember if it was Prince or the other guy.
Yeah, making fun of the DIY.
No, that I like this shirt with the flowers on it.
Your flower shirt keeps you in.
Yeah.
This rebel heart.
That's right.
Okay, the one thing I know you are keeping, Birdo and Rey Fénix.
Yes, we will keep this.
Yeah. That was totally worth it. Roxanne Perez, Nick Aldis, and Tiffy are yelling in the back.
No, I'm going to cut this.
I like how you're cutting this up.
Because Nick Aldis needs to grow a set of balls here, because apparently it's cuckold Nick Aldis night, because just make the damn match here instead of just going to commercial and then later come back and tell us we got a match.
Oh, this one kind of hurts me. Chelsea Green and Zelina Vega interaction and their match.
Nope, cut it. Don't need this.
How about Santos scolding Birdo?
No.
Cody Rhodes talking about how great the titles are.
Nope.
Naomi and Jade.
Yes. Gonna keep this. Yeah.
I would have cut half of it, but Greg, we have to keep something. Oh my gosh. So that takes us to Tiffany versus Roxanne Perez.
We have a standing rule on this show. We do not cut Tiffy time.
That's because it's...
it's Tiffy time!
There may come a day we have to violate this rule, but it wasn't tonight. Thank you, Roxanne Perez, for an excellent match. And thank you for two good matches on this show. Oh, and LA Knight and Randy Orton versus Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa.
Nope.
Greg, just for the recap social thing, you kept the shirt from Pretty Deadly,
right?
Mm-hmm. Match between Roxanne Perez and Tiffany Stratton. You correct. Kept the match with Ray Berto and Ray Phoenix, yeah. And the rest of the show was just one big.
Do you know what? I know you don't have this sound effect up, but you could have just used that like toilet flushing sound effect here, because that's what this was.
So
this was a big old turd.
And that's what I just put in the social that'll appear with this clip. Is like all the other people will just be
and then going around a toilet bowl.
Yeah, this was a stinker. Greg's like, where was Sean Perkin when I needed him?
Yeah. Yeah, I traded shows in Europe for this.
Sean Burkhead is busy doing Dynamite Drop, which dropped its first episode this week. And he thought he had a bad episode of Dynamite compared to what we had. The only thing that would be worse is that he sat through that PLE on Sunday evening, which turned out
to be... still watching it? God
dang. There's a 50-50 chance that he's still watching it, which takes us to the fact that you can hear more shows on there. Even when Dynamite's bad, their show is great. So Ashley and Sean, welcome to the network. Their show will be coming out late Thursday, early Friday morning, which then is followed by us, your Smack Daddies, with the SmackDown show. Next week, the shortest SmackDown show of all time.
Are we even going to do one? If tonight's any indication...
We'll talk about the Battle Royal for five minutes.
Maybe. Because what is it they previewed for next week? Because it's the only thing I think that was worth watching. It's the Battle Royal. That's just because you get to see the trophy.
And the tag titles. And probably 20 more recaps and Cody Rhodes talking and John Cena may show up.
Yeah, next week, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, but they don't show you anyone who's going to be in it. Vega, Chance, and Carter take on the Green Regime, which honestly, I don't really want to see. I love Chelsea Green. I love me some Chelsea Green, but yeah, I'm not sure I want to see 3-on-3 match there, especially since what we're going to see on Mania is, I can't believe she doesn't get a Mania match.
I can't believe they don't just at least make this a U.S. title match.
Yeah, and then Street Profits defend against Motor City Machine Guns. Again, Motor City Machine Guns not going to get a WrestleMania match. But yeah, War Raiders and New Day.
New Day.
Yeah.
You know what? So we have 3 60-minute matches next week for SmackDown.
Yep.
Is there a reason why they're not just like having these three matches take up the first hour and then showing the Hall of Fame for the rest of it?
That would make too much sense.
Okay. And the Raw Dogs are on penultimate episode before Our next, before WrestleMania, before SmackDown, before the WrestleMania festivities, they have the last show outside of Vegas. You'll also have Donnie and Jimmy on the huge Power Up Network here on the Hub Radio, but also on TSN, where they'll be breaking down everything. And I think we get a story from Jimmy this week.
Okay, cool.
So looks like we have a lot of stuff coming up in the queue. It's a busy WrestleMania week. Rest, hydrate, enjoy. It's going to be a long WrestleMania weekend and lots of good things to see, and maybe not SmackDown.
Yeah, definitely not SmackDown.
See, this is why we're going to watch SmackDown next week, so we can tell everybody, don't worry about it.
Don't watch it?
We'll watch a show so other people don't have to.
Right.
Okay. For Greg, I'm Brad, and we'll see you next time. We the ones.
Dad, bless you all with the lovely tales. A Friday night, SmackDown and beyond. Go to the outer limits of your mind with the SmackDown.